Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about on Let's Face the Issues broadcast today, the war against God, the battle against God. We're watching a world in chaos. And so we must face the reality of what's happening, then ask the question, what's the answer? How should we then live, according to what Francis Schaeffer said back in the 60s? What should be our response? And ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about the fact that what we're seeing is the foreshadowing of the stepping on the scenes of the Antichrist after the church is raptured out. He will curse the person of God. He will curse the people of God. That's the Christians. He'll curse the place of God, and that's the church. And that's what we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. You might not recognize it as that. We talk about it in different areas and venues. We see it as the LGBTQ agenda. We look at it as evolution. We look at it as the pot craze in America. We see it as the Planned Parenthood murder by way of abortion agenda. But all of this, ladies and gentlemen, when you recognize that God created us in His image, and as He has created us, we're to honor Him, to glorify Him, and to serve Him, and anything that's antithetical to that is a war against God Himself. And we're watching that war take place today. It's being played out. Ladies and gentlemen, you can dial 831-0917. Love to hear from you. 831-0917, that's the telephone number. Your call gets directly through to the studios and right to our microphones that we can entertain your question or comment. Perhaps you have seen this played out in some other fashion. Perhaps you know of some areas where we need to discuss that you see the war against God. Perhaps you face the war against God in your life, in your business, in your school, in your profession, and what you've done. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been watching that with the war against God, with the Christian bakers and the Christian florist all being persecuted and prosecuted. We've seen that with Christian photographers, the Christian wedding planners. We've seen case after case after case, some that have worked their way completely to the U.S. Supreme Court. And yet, that case with Jack Phillips and the Sweet Cake Bakery in Colorado, even after it was remanded back to the appeals court for them to look at it, after the Supreme Court said it was obvious of a major bias against Christians, and then they have orchestrated another suit against him. Ladies and gentlemen, it seems like it is endless when we understand this war against God and the battle against the Bible, the battle against the church, the bride of Christ, the battle against the Word of God and what God would have us to do in serving Him. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. We're watching this played out today as in no other era of society. Today, never before in modern history, God's church and God's people are under attack. It is as though the satanic demonic impulses are standing up against the moral, ethical, and spiritual people in America. Here's an article that says, UC Berkeley grad featured in No Safe Space documentary details being shunned by classmates just for being a Christian. You hear the title of that? UC Berkeley grad featured in, it's a movie that they put out, called No Safe Space, documentary detailing being shunned by classmates just for being a Christian. I'll just read you briefly. A college student featured in a new film about free speech at colleges called No Safe Space said Monday that she was kicked out of the campus organizations for refusing to affirm the LGBTQ identities. U.S. Berkeley graduate LaBelle Chow told Fox and Friends that when she served as a member of the Student Senate last year, she was shunned for disagreeing with a bill that sought to support LGBTQ identities as being, quote, good. I disagreed with the majority of the bill that asked me to affirm an LGBTQ plus identity as good and to support the LGBTQ organizations on campus. Chow said, while also noting that she was openly Christian when she ran for the Senate on the campus. Chow said that she was kicked out of every single club that she joined on campus, except for the pro-life club and her church. Quote, No Safe Spaces examines the politically correct world of academia, largely driven by the political left. According to Prager, has called the film a wake-up call to American people, claiming the left is trampling on free speech to satisfy its LGBTQ agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saddened to say that we find this permeating just about every thing out of Silicon Valley. This permeates all out of Hollywood. This permeates all on the left coast and on the right coast. This permeates all of what you see taking place in the political realm in Washington and many of our state houses and even in local governance. You see this taking place, ladies and gentlemen, through the ordinances that are being passed across America called the Human Rights Ordinance, the HROs. I call them the Human Reprobate Ordinances. God calls them reprobates, and we ought to call it what God calls it, nothing more and nothing less. But when these things take place, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. It is a demonic delusion. It is a demonic attempt to battle against God and to defeat the Christian and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world today. Here's an article that says, judge bans business owners for stating his Christian beliefs. A federal judge has affirmed a Colorado law that effectively bans, listen to this, I don't know about you, but I'm passionate about these issues, ladies and gentlemen. I'm saddened to see what we see taking place, and it seems that there's quietness on the part of the pulpits and the churches. It seems that mum, as the term is, mum is the word, or without speaking, we think that somehow, some way, it will be all right. But ladies and gentlemen, it is progressively getting worse. It is a problem that is facing us, and it will not go away. We need to understand what we need to do as believers, ladies and gentlemen. This article says, judge bans business owners from stating Christian beliefs. A federal judge has affirmed a Colorado law that effectively bans business owners from freely expressing in public their religious beliefs about marriage and homosexuality. Colorado was the loser in a similar dispute, the Masterpiece Cake Shop, in which the U.S. Supreme Court ruled the state shows hostility toward Christian belief of Jack Phillips in the handling of his refusal to make a cake for same-sex wedding. Since then, openly homosexual Democratic Governor Jared Polis has pursued a gay rights agenda that includes allowing people to indicate their sex on driver's licenses according to their gender identity, and banning Christian counselors from helping young people who want to rid themselves of same-sex attractions. Now Judge Kegler has upheld a Colorado law that barred web designer Lori Smith and her studio, 303 Creative, from publicly expressing their religious reasons she declines to promote same-sex marriage. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's an infringement on the First Amendment right. That's an infringement on our religious liberties and the freedom of speech. That's an infringement on that is the blaspheming, the cursing of God and the battle against God. You can call it whatever you want to. You can give it the title that is legitimate for that. That's okay. But it is the war against God. It's battling God. It's battling good. It's battling the Word of God. It is a battle, open frontal attack on my beliefs and yours as Christians. I pray, ladies and gentlemen, that you're hearing this well. I pray that you're listening with the mindset that we need to understand what's taking place around us. It seems chaotic and it seems confusing, but it has an orchestrated plan and purpose, and it's orchestrated out of the demons of hell. It is a demonic, satanic attack on the Word of God. It is a battle against God. It is a battle against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. We need to recognize it and stand without equivocation. We need not be frightened and intimidated, ladies and gentlemen, for what we see taking place. We need to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. We need to be the watchman on the wall, as spoken of in Isaiah 58. We need to cry aloud and warn of the dangers ahead and what we see taking place in our society. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, today, as never before in modern history, the Church of God, the people of God, are under attack. And it's through that satanic, demonic impulse that's standing against everything that's moral and ethical and spiritual. It's an open war against God and the church and the believers. Not many years ago, ladies and gentlemen, you could go to any city, and it was also true back years ago here in the city of Jacksonville. In fact, been in this city for about 40-plus years, and at one time back years ago, you could go downtown just about any time, and you'd find somebody on some street corner preaching. Now, I'm not concerned at this point necessarily with the theological doctrinal soundness. That's not the point. But preaching the Word of God, standing and warning people about the dangers of hell, pointing people to Jesus Christ. That is a thing of the past, ladies and gentlemen, because the war against God, you'll not find street preachers standing and preaching the word of God in most, if not all, cities today. The street preacher is not able to warn against hell and to tell about Jesus. Today, most cities have banned or totally outlawed the preaching of the word of God in public places. Here's an article that says, preacher ejected from Portland parks and he's suing the city. I say, have at it, preacher. The Pacific Justice Institute has filed a lawsuit against the city of Portland, Oregon. By the way, let me just pause for a moment, digress. You can go to Washington State, you can go to Oregon, the state of California, and I think you find the most wicked, wretched mindset about moral, ethical things and the political agenda that you'll ever find in any part of the nation. It is where they have openly said it's okay to murder a baby, but they've openly said that it's all right to urinate on the streets and defecate on the streets. It's openly all right to allow thugs to run into a place of business and steal up to $1,000 worth of merchandise and not be prosecuted. It is okay to do all of that. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not okay to preach the word. It's not okay to tell others about Jesus Christ. It's not all right as a Christian counselor to counsel others against the lifestyle of sodomy that is so prevalent today. But this preacher's ejected from the park. Why was he ejected from the park? He was preaching, but it was a silent message. He was walking around with his Bible in hand and with a placard marching, showing and saying something about life and the Bible, the Word of God, is against abortion. Pacific Justice Institute has filed a lawsuit against the city of Portland, Oregon, to send a message to the city that further infringement on these freedoms of speech and religion will not be tolerated. Mayberry was in Portland's waterfront. That's the preacher's name. It was in Portland Waterfront Park, holding a sign defending the unborn and passing out related brochures when a park officer approached him and ordered him to leave the park. The preacher refused and asserted his constitutional protected right to free speech. The officer issued Mayberry a citation forbidding him from ever coming to the park. Mayberry already has obtained a ruling overturning the citation. Ray Hackey, H-A-C-K-E, a lawyer based in Oregon for the Pacific Justice Institute, appealed Mayberry's citation to the city auditor, who agreed it violated Mayberry's free speech and rights under both the Oregon and federal constitutions. According to the hearing officer, invalidated Mayberry's exclusion from the park, which is traditional public forum where free speech is supposed to be at its freest, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, dealt with this issue about 30 years ago on a public basis. If there's, you can go into any building, any place like the open malls, the enclosed malls, go to any place where a billboard or a marquee or anything is posted for city communication or for community communication, where you can post articles or say things. That's called a free speech forum. If others are allowed to pass that material in those concourses or on the street corners or in the parks, if others are allowed to do that, it's the free speech forum. And religious free speech is also protected by the U.S. Constitution and all of the state constitutions. So don't let somebody tell you can't go in a park and pass out gospel tracts. Don't let somebody tell you you can't go in a place where they are already allowing others to pass out material and that you as a Christian are not allowed to do so. That's already been tried by the U.S. Supreme Court and defended, and absolutely is a free speech forum if that is what you want to do. But ladies and gentlemen, this preacher was told you can't do what you're doing and was ousted from the park. But I'm thankful that someone has interceded on the basis of the religious liberty and the freedom of speech and our constitutional rights. But ladies and gentlemen, what I'm talking about today, it's through this satanic, demonic movement today. We can call it the LGBTQ. We can call it the pot movement, the drugs. We can call it abortion, the murder by way of abortion, Planned Parenthood. We can give it any of the names, and all of them have legitimate names and are legitimate from the standpoint of what we would call them, not legitimate in my mind, biblically speaking. But ladies and gentlemen, all of these things simply is an open war against God. It's an open war against the church. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're finding today more than ever before the foreclosing of the religious liberties and the freedom of speech for Christians all over the nation. Here's an article that says, man preaching from Bible is attacked by stiletto heel. That's a spiked heel, lady's heel, lady's shoe. New York, Dateline. A 79-year-old man reading aloud from his Bible while aboard a subway train was attacked by another passenger with the heel of a stiletto. Video of the bloody incident was shared online. It shows a person wearing one shoe and holding the other, swing at the man and threaten him repeatedly. And I won't read you the vulgarity that was spoken to the preacher or to that man just reading his Bible. The incident occurred on October the 24th around 10:15 a.m. on the southbound number 2 train in Times Square. Police responded to a 911 call after the assault. The man was taken to the New York City Hospital at New York University. He's in stable condition. He received 30 stitches. 30 stitches. What was his crime? What was he doing? He simply was unashamedly reading from the Word of God. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen. Ban on Christian school prayer reversed by the 11th Circuit Court. The U.S. 11th Circuit Court of Appeals on Wednesday reversed a state ban on prayers at a school championship athletic event. This happened right here in the state of Florida, ladies and gentlemen. It included two Christian high schools. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals on Wednesday reversed state ban on prayers at school championship athletic events. The appeals court reversed a key part of the lower court's decision, endorsing a Florida High School Athletic Association decision. The organization had prohibited two Christian schools from having prayer over a loudspeaker at the Citrus Bowl prior to a state championship game. But the appeals court said the complaint has merit and should proceed forward to trial. We are grateful, quote, we are grateful to have won this appeal and look forward to presenting our case on behalf of the Cambridge Christian School to the district court, said Jeremy Dice, special counsel for the litigation and communications at First Liberty Institute. The First Amendment protects the rights of students and teachers at a private school to pray before a football game, especially when both teams are Christians and have a traditional prayer before the games. It was back in 2015. When Cambridge Christian School met University Christian School in the state championship football game, the FHSAA suggested that because the stadium was a city-owned stadium, a state agency, it would violate the Constitution to allow two private Christian schools to pray over a state-owned microphone for less than 1 minute. In 2017, the judge sided with the state regulators, but First Liberty went to the appeals courts, and the appeals courts now has reversed that standing, and they said that the trial needs to go forward. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the battle against God. It's the war against God. When you say you can't pray over a microphone because the microphone happens to be in a stadium, and the stadium happens to be a state-funded stadium, and you can't pray for 1 minute over that microphone because somehow, somewhere you're going to violate the separation of church and state. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble in America today, and the totality of that trouble, the breadth and the length of it, ladies and gentlemen, is simply based on the war against God, the battle against God, and it's the battle against God. And how do you battle against God? You battle against His church. You battle against the Christians. You battle against the moral, ethical warp and woof of society. That word warp and woof simply means the fabric of society, ladies and gentlemen. Today, if you are a preacher, preaching against abortion, preaching against marriage, preaching against the LGBTQ agenda and Planned Parenthood, you're automatically persecuted and prosecuted if you can be determined somehow, some way you violated something that someone doesn't like. Another good example of the war against God can be seen in the laws now being approved across America. The laws that are being approved left and right across our nation, ladies and gentlemen. For example, 33 states now have legalized marijuana. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, very carefully. And I have researched this, but not extensively, but listen very carefully. We have about 6 or 7 states as we speak. As I am speaking to you on this broadcast today, there are 6 or 7 states that have recently introduced legislation or recently approved legislation legalizing prostitution. New York, D.C., Philadelphia, etc., where they're either in the process of or have already legalized prostitution. And ladies and gentlemen, we are finding today a no-holds-barred attitude in society, a philosophy that says that if God's word says it's sin, I'm going to do it. If God's word says don't, we're going to do it. And that's the mindset of society today, ladies and gentlemen. It is a society that's gone into chaotic condition. It's gone awry. It is a mindset unrecognized and unrealized that is a war against God. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says Kentucky school removes prayer locker after anti-religious group complains. A Kentucky high school is shutting down a tradition allowing students to submit anonymous prayer requests to someone so someone can pray for them. Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, as a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit, sent a complaint letter September the 17th to the Pike Central High School about the prayer locker. While the prayer locker has student support, the group says it's a clear violation of the separation of church and state, alleging it was put up by local school officials. But, ladies and gentlemen, the article says it was done by the students. And it goes on to talk about the fact, here's an part of the article that says Pike County School Superintendent Reed Atkins sent a letter to the school's writing, erecting a school prayer locker is a clear violation of separation of church and state. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not. The courts have ruled that if it is a prayer or something of that nature that is promulgated, pushed, and operated by the students, it is the student's privilege. When a student walks into that classroom, when a student walks on to the school grounds, that student does not lose his or her religious liberties and the freedom of speech. The First Amendment still applies wherever that student may go, wherever that student may be. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding a problem today where drugs and pornography and prostitution and gambling are all against the word of God, and yet it's now being pushed. Prayer is being banned. Prostitution is being legalized. Drugs are being legalized. All kinds of gambling is being legalized across the nation, state after state after state. All of this, ladies and gentlemen, is against the word of God. It is a battle against God. And yet we say, what are the churches doing? Well, overwhelming majority, if not all, of the mainline denominations have embraced the LGBTQ agenda, the sodomite agenda. They've embraced some part, if not all, of the abortion on demand agenda. In fact, on one occasion, I don't have it before me, where a pastor representing a church was there to have the opening of an abortion clinic. And he praised God for it and was there to pass the approval from the church for the abortion clinic that was opening. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that gives you an indication and an illustration of where we have the problem in America today. It's where we have the churches that are not being the churches that God would have us to be. Here's an article that says, welcome to the Bar Church, Seattle, Washington. You should have expected that location. It's called the Bar Church, and yes, you can get a beer while you worship if you want it. Think about the idea of third places. Places where people of faith build relationships with the local community by really listening to what people who live there want and need. Think about what might happen by creating such a place, even if it's nothing like people think of as a regular Sunday morning church. Seattle, full of young adults and located in what's considered to be one of the most secular parts of our country, is in some ways serving as testing ground for what religion of the future could look like. It's a fluid mix of evangelicalism and no religious affiliation and immigrant congregation and experimentation. Here, faith communities are starting businesses, coffee shops, event spaces, and more, and using square footage in a way that builds connections, for example, through creating co-working space and art galleries. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there's now a bar church where you can sit around on your bar stool, sip your Miller Lowlife and your Bud Dumber while you're supposedly worshiping God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a stench in the nostrils of God. That is an indication of why the church has no power today, why the church is no longer salt today. It's because we're embracing the society and the world in which we're living. Ladies and gentlemen, it's antithetical to anything that's called church. And ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand the Christians need to respond. It's a war against God. It's a war against the church. It's a war against God's word. So how should we respond? How should the churches respond? We should not bow, bend, or be beaten into subjection to the world standard. Peter is a good example of that, ladies and gentlemen, in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts. Peter was a street preacher. He was out on the street corner preaching. The officials came up and said, you can't do that. He continued to preach. They beat him and threw him in jail. And after he was released, he said, now let me admonish you. I'm, ladies and gentlemen, giving you a Youngblood vernacular paraphrase of the text. They said, let me warn you, you can't do this again. What did Peter do? Did he cower in the corner? Did he throw his Bible away? Did he pitch a fit and say, I just can't preach anymore? No, not on your life. Peter went back out on the street corner and he started preaching. And they caught him and said, what have we told you? Didn't we tell you you can't do this? And in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, Peter said, we ought to obey God and not man. And ladies and gentlemen, if there's anything that I want you to understand from this broadcast today, and I'm not saying there ought to be anarchy. That's not the point of my words. But we need to stand up for the truth of the Word of God. We need to be salt and light. And the Bible says very clearly in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew, if the salt had lost its savor, it has no value except to be cast out and trodden underfoot. And salt, ladies and gentlemen, is indicative of, and is a parallel or analogous to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the church has lost its savor, it has no value but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. That's literally what the Word of God is saying. Today, all mainline denominations have bowed to the standards of the world. They have embraced the LGBTQ agenda. Some denominations and churches have even embraced the LGBTQ agenda with sodomite pastors and open arms to the sodomite church members. That ought never to be so. And ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, listen, I've said for years now that the sodomite agenda is not going to stop once it's approved. It's not going to stop once there's laws across the nation for it. They are celebrating the anti-God lifestyle. They're celebrating the anti-God lifestyle. It's a war against God. And I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that not just the LGBTQ, but now it's the perversion and the pedophiles that's being brought into that movement. The pedophiles are in essence saying, if the LGBTQ can be approved, then we need to be approved. And ladies and gentlemen, the latest on that is this. Here's an article that says, if all love is equal, this incestuous mother and son couple should be celebrated and approved. It's consensual, this article says. It's not hurting anyone. And we're in love. If that's good enough for the gay marriages, why isn't it good enough for a brother or a sister or a mother and son? The article says, another dispatch from Sodom. The Daily Mail reports on the controversial romance of a New Mexico couple who reconnected after many years and fell instantly in love. It's the mother that had given up her son 20 years ago. They've rediscovered each other, and now they are having an incestuous love relationship and want to get married. They're saying if it's okay for the LGBTQ, why ain't it okay for us? Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray for the heartbeat bill. We need to pray for the parental consent for abortion bill. We need to pray for Bible in the public schools. We need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time as we meet and face the issues on the air.
Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them. 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.